And good evening and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard, and we are coming to you live tonight from the Radio Ranch. That's where we're at. It's been a beautiful day here, 77 degrees, blue skies. Oh, it's been a beautiful day. And so I've spoken with people around the country, and not everybody had a beautiful day today. They certainly didn't down in the islands off of Florida. We'll talk about that a little bit tonight. And it cooled off a little bit for them in Texas, from what I hear, at least the brethren I talked to today. So a little relief there, as they certainly have their hands full in rebuilding and continuing on in what the Lord has put before them. But we thank you for joining us. We'll have the phone lines open up tonight, 307-745-5913, if you want to call. But we're going to go to our Heavenly Father in prayer first. Well, dear Lord, thank you for this day of life that you've given us. Thank you for the very air that we breathe. Lord, thank you for each and every trial and tribulation that you've brought in our lives, Lord. And Father, we desire to do that which is pleasing to you. And Lord, we know that we have to learn, Lord. We have to go through trials and tribulations, and Lord, and make mistakes and learn from those mistakes, so that the next time we have the opportunity, or the next time that we have the trial, that Lord, we do better, we make better choices. Father, that is our prayer. For Lord, that's my prayer for me, as well as for the remnant out there, Lord, that I know are going through trials, that Lord, that are going through health problems, that are going through problems at work, Lord, that those that are going through marriage problems. Lord, help us as we go through these storms, as well as these hurricanes and fires. Father, help us to look to you. Help us to willingly and consciously draw nearer to you, to read your word, to pray, to praise you. Help us to do those things, Lord. Help us to do those things, and help us to let that light of Christ, Lord, that light that you have given us as you have called us out of darkness, that light that you have given us, Lord, help us to shine that light into the darkness, Lord, into the darkness of the sin that's in this world, Lord, the darkness that we see in the education system, the darkness that we certainly see in the government, Lord, even in the religious systems of the day. Help us shine that light, your word. Help us be bold in proclaiming it. Father, help us to do that very thing, to proclaim your word to your people and to all. Father, we pray for your blessings. I pray and ask for your blessings on the broadcast tonight. Lord, I pray for your people in Texas, that your Holy Spirit would be upon them, Father, that would strengthen them, that you would help them get through this time of trial, this time of rebuilding, this time of hardship and struggle. Help them through that, Lord. And Father, I pray for your people down in Florida, that you will help them get through this hurricane, that Lord, you will help them get through the traffic snarls and the power outages and the wind and the waves. Help them get through it, Lord. Be there with them. You, our ever-present help. I thank you, Lord. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, help us to bless you in all that we think, say, and do, as it says in the Psalms, Lord, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Bless the Lord. Help us to do that, Lord. We thank you for the blessings that you pour out upon us. And we pray all this to the glory of the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen. And we do have the phone lines open tonight. If you want to call in, 307-745-5913. Got to get in contact with a couple of our brethren in Texas today, just to check up on them and see how they're doing. So we might get a phone call from them tonight. We'll see. We do have the lines open. But you don't have to be from Texas to call in if you have a question or a comment. Current events, of course. Harvey cleanup in Texas is still just astronomical. The flooding, the devastation, 7,000 homes, I hear, have been destroyed. Over 80,000 damaged. I think that's probably more than we have in our county here. So we do continue to ask you to pray for strength, to pray for health for all of his people that have been affected and that are still affected in Texas, and of course with Florida as well. The reports that come out of Florida might not have the rain that Harvey did, but it certainly has the wind. Saw this headline today, and it really caught my eye because it had to do with saving. And it was a quote from Florida Governor Rick Scott, and it was a quote from today, and they ran it as headlines, and it said, "The Florida governor urges the people in Irma's path to get out." And the quote from him is, "We can't save you. We can't save you." And I don't know much about Florida Governor Rick Scott. It's been 21 years since I've lived down in Florida. But that is a very accurate statement. We have seen what this Hurricane Irma has done across the islands. We've been watching the updates over the last few days, the flooding, the devastation that has been brought. And so when you, and I speak to not just those in Florida, but all of us, we need to remember that when we see things like this happening, and then we see these things headed our way, and sometimes it takes a little wisdom and discernment to see if they're headed our way or not. But we see that this hurricane's headed to Florida, and it looks like it's going to just swallow it up and just run right up the middle of it. You know, we've got family there. I do. Sisters, brother-in-law, brothers. We've been praying for them. We'll continue. Been in contact with them, and even in Central Florida. Now, you know, the Keys they started evacuating them yesterday. Miami Beach, they're evacuating. They know that southern tip of Florida is going to take the brunt. It's going to get hit. And so just as the governor has said, we can't save you. And so I kind of liken this to a sign of the times. We've read in the Word where Jesus used that parable when he said, you can see the sun is red in the morning or red in the evening, and you can tell if the day is going to be fair or if a storm is approaching, but you can't read the signs of the times. Well, the signs are there for this storm rolling into Florida. And it appears that there are many that are, well, that are paying attention to the signs of the times. And even as far north as Jacksonville, people in low-lying areas, which is in North Florida, are being told to evacuate the low-lying areas. Certainly there needs to be some wisdom and discernment here. But it's pretty, well, we can see that this storm is coming. So in the physical, we can see that. Well, how about in the spiritual? Can we see the storms that are coming on this land? Can we see as we read in the Word, we read how His people, having the Word, having the law, having God lead them by the hand through thick and thin, that they still turned away from Him, that they still did not follow His laws, statutes, and judgments, but became like all the other people. Can we see that? Can we see the storm that is coming because of the spiritual condition of our people today? I hope we can. I spoke with my brother-in-law down in Central Florida, right in the middle of the state, just about, within 20 miles of the dead center of the middle of the state, and they are boarding up windows. They have family coming from the coast, from the west coast, getting away from the coast, and they are boarding up windows because they see what the wind is doing. They're hunkering down stocking up on food and water and talking with him, it sometimes it's an hour search for gasoline. There in Central Florida, not in South Miami, but in Central Florida, in the middle of the state, away from the major north-south interstates. So this is a, it appears that the people down there are taking it very seriously. And we've been praying for that. We certainly have been praying for those people affected by Harvey, for the people that are already affected, that are his, affected by Hurricane Irma, and those that will be facing these storms, for God to get them through them. And Remnant, don't forget that out west, it's not making the headlines, but out west, record-setting, horrendous fires are burning in California and in Idaho and in Montana and in Washington. Horrendous fires, record-setting fires. We pray, O Lord, remember grace and mercy for your people in your wrath. Find your people worthy to escape the things that are coming, O Lord. We pray that. We see that record-setting fires on the West Coast out in California, record-setting hurricanes on the East Coast. Many times we think of this nation as that the new promised land, the Zion, the new JERUSALEM. Praise the Lord, we know it is. But see, with that recognition comes responsibility. We have shunned that responsibility. We have. As we see these things happening, in reading today's Bible reading plan, which is Hebrews 5 through 7, this Thursday, September 7th, 2017, and again, we're coming to you live from the Radio Ranch, and if you want to call, 307-745-5913. For several years, we've had a different Bible reading plan that we've tried to put out each and every year. This year, it is a little different. It's set up by categories, by areas. This week it's the epistles. We started in Timothy and Titus and Philemon and now Hebrews the rest of the week. And next week it's the law, starting on Sunday, and then a history the week after that, and then the Psalms, the final week of this month. And it is a different way to read your Bible, and we hope you've been using this tool to follow along. One small scripture that stood out to me when I read this today was Hebrews 5, verse 9, or actually verse 8. And it's talking about, of course, the perfect high priest. It's talking about Jesus the Christ. And it says here in verse 8, and I thought it certainly applied with what we are going through today in our country. West Coast fires, East Coast hurricanes, down South hurricanes. Verse 8, although he was a son, and the Son of God, I might add, it says he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. If you've read your Bible any, you see that is how obedience is learned, is through the things which we suffer. The hardships, the trials, the struggles, the times when things are not going the way we want them to go, when things are not pleasing, when things hurt, when times are tough. And if we think about it, if the Lord Jesus Christ, the only perfect human in the history of the world, the Son of God, God Almighty Himself in the flesh, that came down to face sin and to face temptation and not sin, if He had to learn obedience from the things which He suffered, you think maybe that might apply to us as well? that us in our sinful fallen state, in this sinful fallen time, in this time of this wicked generation that we're in the perilous times that we are in, certainly perilous times have come for Christians today, that we too might need to learn obedience from the things that we suffer. Maybe instead of asking why, God, why? We remember our pastor taught us to say, why not? Or at least to be open to that answer when we ask why of God. But be open to the answer when you ask. If you ask why to God, be open to the answer. If you ask a question, be ready for the answer. And that's the answer our pastor taught us. If we say why not? The sins of this land cry out. The very land itself cries out with the sins that are abominations to God, the abortions, the murder, the unjust weights and balances. How about that? We don't hear about that a lot. But boy, those in the know, the politicians, whether they're local or federal, they sure seem to get by a little bit, right? Be it on taxes or price breaks or whatever it may be. See, those reflect the unjust weights and balances that are an abomination to God, that turn his stomach, that he will not put up with for long among his people. The abortions, the killing of the innocent, the bragging of the Antichrist that come out and brag of this and boast of it. And our leaders in Washington and in our state representatives and senators and in our state congresses that vote to support and fund this murder of the innocents. It is not only a sacrifice to Moloch, but it is an affront to our God. The filth of homosexuality that is an abomination to God and to nature itself, that is flaunted and protected in this land. Shall not God avenge himself? We claim this land to be, as I said, that new JERUSALEM, the new Zion, the new promised land. Not the land of the Old Testament, but the new land with the Eastern Sea and the Western Sea, the land of unwalled villages. Yeah, that's us. Oh, we're quick to boast of that. Oh, that's us, not those Israelites over in that sandbox, but us. Well, guess what? Great responsibility comes along with that. If we are in the land of God, the new Jerusalem, this USA, this land formed in a day, July 4th, 1776. Well, we have some rules that go along with that. There are guidelines. I wanted to talk a little bit tonight about listen, about remember, and about forgive. And in Isaiah 34, a couple verses here, verse 1 and 2, it says, "Draw near, O nations, to hear and to listen. O peoples, let the earth and all it contains hear, and the world and all that springs from it. For the Lord's indignation is against all the nations, and his wrath against all their armies. He has utterly destroyed them. He has given them over to slaughter." It is not just Christianity that is to hear the word of the Lord. It is for all peoples, all nations to hear. And it certainly is for his people to hear and to obey. So we being this new promised land, we better hear and obey. And we see the nations of Europe that are also our brethren that have not heard, have not obeyed. And do we not see the utter invasion and destroying of their culture and of everything that they were, of everything that was good and right? Jeremiah 6. Let's bump up to that. A couple verses. We'll start in verse 16. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus says the Lord, stand by the ways, and see and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls." Now that sounds good, doesn't it? Go look to the ancient ways. Look to how when we were blessed by God, is what it says, where the good way is. And not only look and see it, but walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. Remember that Jesus offers that. He says, "Come, and I will give you" what? Rest. There's no rest today for the weary. But they said, "We will not walk in it." And verse 17, "And I set a watchman over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. Listen to the warnings that are out there." But they said, "We will not listen." And that is right where we are today, people. It is right where we are as a nation of so-called Christians in this new promised land. Verse 18, it says, "Therefore hear, O nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them." Verse 19, "Hear, O earth, behold, I am bringing disaster on this people, the fruit of their plans, because they have not listened to my words. And as for my law, they have rejected it also." Yes, we have. Remnant. We have. We have not listened to his words. We have rejected his law. And we have disaster on us as a result. We surely do. We find ourselves just in a time again as it was in the time of Daniel, as a time when his people were being punished, had been invaded because of their sin. We'll start reading Daniel 9, starting in verse 13. "As it is written in the law of Moses, all this calamity has come on us. Yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our iniquity and giving attention to your truth. Therefore the Lord has kept the calamity in store and brought it on us. For the Lord our God is righteous with respect to all his deeds which he has done. But we have not obeyed his voice. And now, O Lord our God, who have brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and have made a name for yourself as it is this day, we have sinned. We have been wicked. O Lord, in accordance with all your righteous acts, let now your anger and your wrath turn away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain. For because of our sins and the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem, and your people have become a reproach to all those around us. So now, our God, listen to the prayer of your servant and to his supplications. And for your sake, O Lord, let your face shine on your desolate sanctuary. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city which is called by your name. For we are not presenting our supplication before you on account of any merits of our own, but on account of your great compassion. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and take action. For your own sake, O my God, do not delay, because your city and your people are called by your name. And O Heavenly Father, your people face utter destruction. Lord, as this storm roars up upon this land of Florida, in your new Jerusalem. Father, I do pray that you would listen. Father, not that I have to remind you of your words, O Lord. For as we read here in Daniel, Lord, we have turned from you. We have not done what we were supposed to do. Lord, forgive us for that. But Lord, we are comforted by your words. Lord, we read in Joshua 1, 5, and 6 that it says, "I will not fail you or forsake you." And Lord, we know those are your words, that you will not fail us. You never have. And you will not forsake us. Lord, you tell us in verse 6 to be strong and courageous. Help us to do that, Lord. Not in the strength of our might, but in your Spirit, in the strength of your might. Heavenly Father, we pray. Lord, we pray for your people that, Father, they will turn to you, that they will be out, Lord, in these times, in these storms, and in the rebuilding of this, Lord, with the proper heart, with the new heart, Lord, a heart not only for you, but for our neighbors and for our brethren as well. In 2 Chronicles 15, verse 2, Lord, it says, "The Lord is with you when you are with him." And we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And I say that to the remnant. Remember, his word is truth. And the Lord is with you when you are with him. When you are turning from that sinful nature that, yeah, we are all born that way. That we are born with that sinful, fallen nature. When we turn from that, and we make better choices, and in obedience we return to him. Well, when we do that, then he is with us. And if we seek him, it says, if you seek him, 2 Chronicles 15:2, he will let you find him. But if you forsake him in your life, if you forsake our God in your business, if you forsake our God in your marriage, if you forsake our God in your family, if you forsake our God in your thoughts, he will forsake you. Oh, Heavenly Father, we have done this very thing. Forgive us. We have not drawn near to you so that you would be near to us. We have forsaken you, and you have forsaken us. Forgive us, O Lord. We turn from our wicked ways, and we do turn to you, Lord. And as your truth here says that we just read, we seek you, and we know you will let us find you. And we will not forsake you, Lord. We will proclaim your good tidings. We will proclaim your grace and mercy. We will claim your promises, regardless of what man may say or do. And we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. We see these scriptures from the Old Testament, from Jeremiah and Isaiah and Daniel and Joshua and 2 Chronicles. But you know, we read this in the New Testament as well. In Hebrews 13:5, we read again, a second witness, it says, "For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you." In the midst of these storms that are just the beginning of birth pangs, how many times have we heard that? How many times have you heard that from this ministry? That we see these perilous times, these earthquakes and famines and storms and pestilence. We see them time after time, but they are just the beginning of birth pangs. This is just the beginning. This is getting things geared up, because the land itself cries out because of the sins. Nehemiah 9, as we move on, or as we move back to the Old Testament, comes to mind. Nehemiah 9, 31 and 32 says, "Nevertheless, in your great compassion, O Lord, you did not make an end of them," meaning us, "or forsake them, for you are a gracious and compassionate God. Now therefore, our God, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God, who keeps covenant and loving kindness, do not let all the hardship seem insignificant before you, Lord." The hardships which has come upon us, our kings, our princes, our priests, our prophets, our fathers, and on all your people. Folks, we find ourselves again in the midst of these hardships. Economic hardships, physical hardships, of storms, of destruction. What will it take, America, to have us return to our God? First Chronicles 16 we read. And again, the phone lines are open. We are coming to you live this 7th day of September 2017. The phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. We've still got about 20 minutes left in the program here. And I've still got scriptures to read. These came to mind today. Praise the Lord. They are, each and every one is a prayer, is a proclamation, is a crying out to God. It is a drawing near to Him. It is proclaiming His word, His truth, His promise, His law. This is the way it is. I read you what the Florida governor said. The Florida governor said, "We can't save you." And he's absolutely right. There is only one that saves from sin, that saves from sickness, and that saves from storm and flood and fire. And His name is Jesus Christ. He saved Noah from the flood. He is saved from the fire. He saves those that are His. As we read, He is with us when we are with Him. If we seek Him, He lets us find Him. But we have to draw near to Him first. We have to seek Him. He's there. Are you seeking Him, Florida? Are you seeking Him, Remnant, wherever you are? You don't have to be down in Florida with Irma coming up on you. You don't have to be out west with the wildfires raging all around. You don't have to be in L.A. County, California, in Los Angeles, the biggest record-setting fire they've ever had. You might just be there in Minnesota. You might just be there in Washington. You might just be there in Indiana, just loving life, living large, blessed. But are you seeking Him? Are you seeking Him while there's time? While you can? While you're not having to pray and flee for your life? First Chronicles 16, starting in verse 11. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. Folks, this is not a Sunday morning thing. Seek His face continually, we see. In the good and the bad. When you're up on the mountain. So you'll be trained. And it'll be a good habit when you get down there in the valley. Or when the floods are coming in. Or the winds. Or the fires. Or the health problems. The storms of life. We are seeing them in the physical. But certainly, do we not see them in the spiritually as well? Verse 12 of 1 Chronicles 16. Remember His wonderful deeds which He has done, His marvels and the judgments from His mouth. O seed of Israel, His servant, sons of Jacob, His chosen ones, verse 14, He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember His covenant forever, the word which He commanded to 1,000 generations. Verse 14 again, His judgments are in all the earth. Remember, His ways are right. As we do our best to remind the remnant to remember Him, as we read in 1 Chronicles 16, we can be as the psalmist and cry out to God, and that is what we have been doing and will continue to do as we face this devastation that is upon our land and upon our people. We can cry out to God to remember as well. In Psalms 25, verse starting in verse 6, we read, and we cry out as David did, "Remember, O Lord, Your compassion and Your loving kindness, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to Your loving kindness, remember me." Remember Your people. For your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright. is the Lord. Amen and amen is that. You are worthy of praise, O Lord. And let us, all of your people, remember these. Let us draw near to you. Allow us to find you, O Lord. In Psalm 74, we read about the same thing. O God, why have you rejected us forever? Why does your anger smoke against the sheep of your pasture? Verse 2, remember your congregation, which you have purchased of old, which you have redeemed to be the tribe of your inheritance, O Lord, and this Mount Zion where you have dwelt. Do you see that, folks? There in Psalms it says he had purchased of old. Remember, though, but in the future from Psalms, it's in our past, but the future from Psalms was when Christ came and purchased the field. Remember, he purchased the field to get his treasure. And he explains that as he purchased the world to get his remnant, to get his people, his congregation, his Mount Zion. Here where he dwells within his people. We've mentioned it before, but one encouraging thing that did come out of Hurricane Harvey's impact on Texas was the Christianity in action. The showing the people that helped their fellow man, regardless of race, regardless of religion. It was a matter of life and death. And the people opened up their hearts and their boats and their monster trucks and their furniture stores to help those that were in need. And folks, that is true Christianity. Isaiah 64, starting in verse 8, but now, O Lord, you are our Father. And I pause there for a minute. We must remember to acknowledge that. I have children. Many of you do too. And when the children acknowledge you as Father, when they look to you maybe for wisdom, or they look to you even just to let you know what they're doing, what they're thinking, how things are going, that is honoring. Remember our commandment, the first commandment with promise, to honor your mother and your father so that it will go well with you and so you will have long life. It's a matter of honor. Well, God is our heavenly Father. When we acknowledge him, it honors him, it blesses him, it puts a smile on his face. It is what we are to do. And for too long, too many people here in this land have not honored our Father in heaven, God our Father, Abba our Father. We're just out here doing it our own way. Whatever seems right to us. And we think if it seems right to us, it just must be right. Well, I thought about it. And we put ourselves in the position of God. And so if we thought it must be right, we're just going to do it. Well, that's right. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. Isaiah 64, starting in verse 8, but now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are potter, and all of us are the work of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure, O Lord, nor remember our iniquity forever. Behold, look now, all of us are your people. We acknowledge that, God. Remember your people. Remember that we are but the clay and you are the potter. Jeremiah 14 continues with this. We see this recurring theme and we need it today. We need to hear it and we need to to repent and return. Jeremiah 14, starting in verse 20, "We know our wickedness, O Lord, the iniquity of our fathers, for we have sinned against you. Do not despise us for your own name's sake. Do not disgrace the throne of your glory. Remember and do not annul your covenant with us. Are there any among the idols of the nations who give rain? Or can the heavens grant showers? Is it not you, O Lord our God? Therefore we hope in you, for you are the one who has done all these things." I think I mentioned a week or so ago, as we saw Harvey roll in and devastate Texas, but we saw the people there that helped, that opened up their, as we said before, their homes, and we saw that there were convention centers that we were able to open up. Yes, the government. Oh yeah, I know the government. No, it's not it may not be a godly government, but they sure opened up and helped. More so than what you see down in the islands. More so than you saw in, what was it, Bermuda, whatever that island was, wiped out. We see it down in Haiti. We see it down in the Dominican Republic. We see it down in these islands, the devastation. And I mentioned it the other day, we had a substitute UPS driver, and he had stopped by and dropped his package off, my package off, and on his way out, we were talking across the yard about the devastation in Houston and in all of Texas that's affected. And he made the comment. He said, if that would have happened anywhere else, there would be thousands killed, thousands dead already. And I agreed with him. See, that in itself is another sign that this is, that we are the potter, that God does remember and has not annulled his covenant with us, his people. Just that in itself. Was it a perfect response from the government? Absolutely not. Not standing up for the government, but praising God that he had his people that have his laws, statutes, and judgments, at least when they see others dying and in need, that they responded appropriately. In Jeremiah 31:20, God says that his heart yearns for his dear son, Ephraim, and he will have mercy on him. And that's on us. Lord, thank you. And we remind you, Lord, and we thank you for the mercy that you have already shown and that you continue to show. Habakkuk 3:2 says, "In wrath, remember mercy." We cry that out, O Lord. We pray that. We read it. We proclaim it. Lord, it is your word. And it is our prayer, in wrath, remember mercy. 1 Kings 8:50 says, "And forgive your people who have sinned against you, in all their transgressions, which they have transgressed against you, O Lord. In your wrath, remember mercy. Forgive your people, O Lord, we certainly have sinned against you. We certainly have, Lord. We have become like all the other peoples. We have welcomed them in. We have given our daughters and our sons to them. We have taken them as for our daughters and sons and for ourselves. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us. Forgive us, O Lord." As we begin to wrap up tonight, O Father, I go back to the Psalms. As we read the Psalms, we find comfort. We read of a time that, well, Lord, that words that are put down that are certainly more eloquent than anything I could come up with, than anything I've ever come up with. But when I can read this, it is what my heart feels. And it is the crying out and the groaning, Lord, for your people. And the groaning against the abominations in the land. And Father, the crying out for the saving of your people. I read, Lord, in Psalms 86, starting in verse 1, Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am afflicted and needy. And Lord, I speak this as I read this and speak this as all of your people here in this new JERUSALEM that are rebuilding from the floods in Texas, that are fighting fires and out in the West, and that are facing this storm of storms rolling in from the South there in Florida. Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer us, for we are afflicted and needy. Preserve my soul, O Lord, for I am a godly man. O you, my God, save your servant who trusts in you. And Father, I pray that this is the prayer of your people. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you I cry all day long. Make glad the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon you. Give ear, O Lord, to our prayer, and give heed to the voice of my supplication. In the day of my trouble I shall call upon you, for you will answer me. My prayer, Lord, is that that is the prayer of your people. We know that you are with us when we are with you, when we return to you, and I pray that we do that, Lord. We praise you, we thank you. Father, I do pray that you remember your people, and in your wrath, remember mercy. In your wrath, remember mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for joining us tonight. I'm going to go out with this song. It's called Praise Him in the Storm. We have a storm coming, and we need to remember to do that very thing, to praise Jesus Christ, who learned obedience from the things which he suffered. Father, let us learn obedience from the things that we suffer. Let us learn obedience from the storms in our life, the physical storms or the ones that come upon us individually, O Lord. Help us praise you always. In all things, praise you, Jesus Christ. Be glorified. Be glorified, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
I was sure by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away. Stepped in and saved the day. But once again I say amen, and it's still raining. But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands. You are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I've cried, you hold in your hand. You never left my side. I will praise you in the storm. I remember when I stumbled in the wind. You heard my cry to you and raised me up again. But my strength is almost gone. How can I carry on if I can't find you? But as the thunder